Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. And before we go into talking about supernatural manifestations of the Lord, his visits, just to give you a couple more wrap-up points to the natural senses, getting used to the Lord drawing your attention to what you are sensing physically. He may increase your awareness to the point where, just as you would, you know, again, recognize somebody's voice on the phone, or a touch of their hand on your shoulder, or even their perfume. You know when somebody's been there or when something's been there. And that can draw your attention to such a degree that it's like a signature. And he may set up patterns for you that, for instance, when you smell roses, it means he wants to spend time with you right then and there. That's just an idea. Okay, that might be something that could be the exact opposite. You may smell roses, and he may say, be trying to tell you there's a problem that you guys need to discuss, or that you have not been paying attention in an area where you should have been. So there's no direct correlation. But he may set up a pattern that when you experience a particular natural manifestation, it means something else. And that thing may be consistent. It may be that way for a while, for days, weeks, months, years. It may be different every time. We just want to, again, allow the Lord to be our trainer, our personal trainer. And that if he wants to reveal himself a certain way, that's his prerogative. And he will have you ready for your tomorrow. He wants you ready. So we're all on the same team. He's not out to get you out of the program. He wants you to get you through his program as quickly and efficiently as possible. So he's not out trying to make a fool of you or get you into trouble or trick you. We're all on the same side. Now, as you approach the whole notion of being able to hear God and hear his opinion directly, this is going to bring you into conflict with other Christians. It's a guarantee. We all have this idea that what we believe is based in reality. And when you question somebody else's belief system, even just, you know, generally questioning without even getting specific or touching on a hot topic, people are going to want to know, well, how do you know that? And when you say, well, the Lord's been showing that to me, but how? Well, he just says, this is how this works. And if they have not heard from him directly in the same way or understand, or perhaps they have heard and discounted it, this is going to be something that you are not going to be able to prove objectively. You can experience it objectively, but you can't prove it objectively. So you will likely be questioned, if not criticized, by friends and strangers alike. And you may even be tempted to criticize yourself as you pursue becoming familiar with these kinds of manifestations. But settle it right now that natural manifestations of the Lord communicating with us and to us are real. They are helpful. They are from Him. And they are meant to encourage you into greater dependence on the Lord. And also settle it right now that to not take advantage of natural manifestations is to shortchange yourself from the wonderful relationship that God has waiting for you. He has things in store for you that will satisfy your very heart, the very core being that you can't even imagine. And this is one of those objective pathways that He has laid out for us so that we can objectively pursue Him. God wants to be wanted. This is where we get the whole idea that He's a jealous God. It's not that it's a negative character trait in Him, but that He wants to be wanted. He values what He has in store for you because He values you. And our neglect devalues Him, us, and our future. When you say, God, if you want me to have this, I know I'll have it. Or I'll know you to protect me. I know I'm getting to heaven. That's all that matters. You are devaluing yourself. You are saying, God doesn't know about you that you're really not that valuable. Or that you can get away with it. This idea that when the chips are down, you know how to pray. Or even if you don't and something happens, say you get sick or an emergency happens, you'll get through it. Or your church will get you through it. Or your spiritual mentor will get you through it. What we do when we do that is we devalue God Himself. Because God doesn't want you to want what He can do for you. He's longing for you to hunger for that relationship. And it's only something that can be experienced. You can't teach it. We can stir up a hunger and a thirst in one another. But this is something that you have to experience for yourself. So then we start looking at soulical and supernatural manifestations. This gets a little bit more challenging, just because it is so far from our realm of experience. We understand what the natural senses are. We understand sight and hearing and smell and taste and touch. We understand those things. We use them every day. But we have a harder time with our soulical senses. And many of us have been taught very negative things about supernatural manifestations, that either it's for a certain few special people, special Christians, that even get involved in angels and demons or anything regarding the supernatural realm. And even just that whole idea that, you know, maybe angels are spiritual, and demons are supernatural. We have all these terms and approaches. And whatever it takes, God just wants to teach us and train us who we are now. Again, if you have been born again spiritually, you have authority in and over the supernatural realm. And God wants you to know how to recognize your authority and exercise it. Now, today, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He does not want us saying, well, this will just have to wait till I'm dead and in heaven, or until there's an emergency situation, or until I get a special anointing, or a certain person prays for me. Greater things shall you do than Jesus ever did. And we have a hard time doing anything that Jesus did. We have set our standards, our expectations so low. And yet God can change them. That's part of our problem, I think, is that what if He did? What if He turned our world upside down? Change is hard. But I will say, it's worth it. So awareness of the supernatural realm that's around you right now, that's in you and you are in it, awareness is essential in recognizing and responding to the presence and communication of God. This is why we spend time with Him, because that automatically increases our awareness, our ability to recognize His presence and hear what He's saying to us. Most of us have, at one time or another, in one way or another, sensed the presence of the Lord or heard His voice internally or recognized His guidance and provision apart from a change in our natural circumstances. You know, we think, okay, if everything turns out right, that must have been God. But sometimes things don't turn out right, and we still have a peace. But our goal is to actively participate in the learning process, to develop our senses and increase that awareness so that he can share what he is doing in our lives with us, knowing that we will not say, "Not so, Lord." That he can trust us with information, and we won't go blabbing, and it won't send us into a tizzy, whether for good or for bad. Through the practice of waiting on the Lord and cultivating quietness as a lifestyle, we make ourselves fully available to be taught directly by the Lord. Again, change is hard. And we like to control how we hear from him, how he teaches us, how he reveals himself, and under what circumstances. But that's not our job. Our job is to show up for class and then do the homework and take the tests. And again, recognizing that his way of teaching us and training us is so personal, very often others are not going to be able to recognize and sometimes even support what he is doing in our lives. That shouldn't be the case. But we do indulge ourselves in making our own choices. Very often, things like where we attend church, the doctrines we believe, the version of the Bible we use. We've made those choices very often because it accommodates our temperament. Maybe we're a very feeling person. We base a lot of our decisions and our planning on how we feel. And so the church we attend and the group of friends we have and beliefs we have are all based on how we feel, how our feelingness is accepted, and is this a compassionate group? Now, there's absolutely, obviously nothing wrong with that. Unless that is keeping us from a spiritual dependence on God. If God tells you, no, I want you to go over here and hang out with these guys, and your response is, but Lord, they're not compassionate. I don't want to turn my back on, you know, I might hurt the feelings of, or you know, I just really don't feel a part of. Really, none of that feeling stuff matters when God tells you to do this, that, or the other thing. God's not going to accommodate your temperament. Now, God gave you your temperament. It's not broken. It doesn't need to be fixed. But he didn't give it to you so you could hold it against him. In fact, he gave each one of us the temperament we have as a challenge to overcome. To recognize that the strengths and weaknesses in each one of our souls, our temperament, the way he put us together, there are strengths and weaknesses. Each one of us have a big whip. We don't get credit for our strengths, and we should accept no shame for our weaknesses. They're simply part of the way God put us together in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. So our goal is not to accommodate our temperament, either the strengths or the weaknesses. But despite our temperament, be learning how to know God on His terms, to be able to hear His voice clearly, receive direction, receive encouragement directly from Him. Know how to test what we hear, and then know how to act on it. Again, this is how we are satisfied. This is our purpose. You know, people are always, you know, I want to know what my call is, I want to know what my purpose is. That's what it is. It's not that hard to figure it out. It's to know God. Eternal life is to know Him. You have eternal life right now, all you're ever going to get in your spirit. It's how are you using it right now? Are you becoming one, spirit, soul, and body? By depending on Him. And it's amazing. We have such an idea that, you know, that God's out there somewhere. And when we remember that for each one of us, He's spending all His time crafting your tomorrow. He's crafting the circumstances of your next 5 minutes. And when we recognize how much attention to detail He really gives for each one of us, we start to get the idea that there's so much more He wants to share with us. Now, in your spirit, you are already hearing Him perfectly. So it's not that there's any problem in communicating between your spirit and God. The problem, that wall, is between our spirit and our soul. The more time we spend with Him and stretch that time out to a lifestyle, so it's not just, you know, 3 times a day, but it's every moment of the day, that wall comes down brick by brick, sometimes a whole section at a time, and we are brought into oneness in that area. Our goal here on this earth is how much of that wall can we take down. Now, don't worry about what He's going to do in a nation or a movement or a family situation. He knows what's going on in those situations, and He may want to talk to you about them or have you do something about it. Remember that you speak to the mountain and it's removed. You don't speak to God and ask Him to remove it. This is part of our learning to be responsible and exercise our authority, is that we move the mountain. We speak to it. But He may not want that mountain moved. And if you move it, He may just have to create another one. So this is why it's so important that we understand that you are His purpose on this earth. If He wanted to fix everything in the world, bring world peace, that there would be no hunger, that there would be, everybody would be a Christian, that everything, think whatever your idea of the ultimate goal here on this earth is, He could do it in the twinkling of an eye. All he has to do is give it a thought. He doesn't need anybody's help. People don't need to be in the right positions. He could do it just like that. So why doesn't he? Because he has left work to be done here so that we will learn how to depend on him by learning how to do the work. When you're training a child to learn to clean up their room, the goal isn't that they have a clean room. It'd be faster to just clean it up for them. The goal is that they learn how to clean up their room. Don't put it down, put it away. How do you clean up your room as fast as possible so you can do other things? Because they learn character traits and habits out of the process of cleaning up their room. So whatever goal God may give you, a project, it's not getting that project done that's important. That may be for us, but for him, it's what did we learn along the way? What did we learn about him? What did we learn about ourselves? What did we learn about the way our enemies work, the world, the flesh, and the devil, or about how our temperament works? So it's the process that matters. That matters to God, that matters to us. And the more we can relax and let God be the God, even when we are challenged beyond what we think we are capable of, we don't have to worry about making a mistake. That's part of the process. So, though attending conferences and reading books, receiving prayer, and exercising our gifts are all helpful in this process, there is absolutely no substitute for hearing and being taught directly by the Lord. We rob him of his throne rights. We reject his lordship, his sovereignty, when we substitute any other authority or beliefs or teachings or approach for his personal one-on-one instruction. So remember, he's sitting right next to you right now. He has a plan. He has a daily schedule for each one of us that he wants to talk to us about. Now, one of the things we find out is that he gets our attention about something that's important to us only to start talking about what's important to him. We find as we start looking at the pattern of our lives that there are the three main areas that he gets our attention in. That's finances, relationships, and health. When we have problems in one or more of those areas, that's when our awareness of God suddenly increases. So he lets these things happen in our lives. Not because he wants to talk to us about our finances, our health, and our relationships, but because that was the best way to get our attention. And that's all these manifestations are. Ways to get our attention to him. So we learn to hear his voice, learn how to test it. Lord, is that you? Remember, there's the two voices that speak to the sheep. The voice of the shepherd and the voice of the butcher. That's always the best place to start, is what I'm hearing drawing me closer to God, or is it driving me away? And when we start letting him be the God, he will guide us step by step where we need to go. So we will pick it up there next week. As always, you can get in touch with me at diane@wecanprepare.org. It's always great to hear from you. Until next week, this has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.